This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
Yo, what up?
Is a fitter, happier you worth fighting for?
Want that well.
Well, getting stronger is hard work, but that doesn't mean it can't be fun. Fight Camp blurs the lines between fitness and gaming. If you are looking for one of the most exhilarating and effective forms of home fitness, then Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers to meet you on your time. Live punch stats motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. Knockout achievements, or go head-to-head against other rivals from across the country or across the living room. Learn the basics and sharpen your skills over time through tailored paths. Now, Fight Camp has thousands of classes, and with new workouts added each week, you'll always find something new. Use filters to explore different workout styles, lengths, trainers, difficulty levels, and more. You'll never get bored. It's a full-body workout that combines boxing with plyometrics. It brings both boxing and plyometrics combined into a full-body workout, bringing the best of both cardio and strength training into one, giving you an intense full-body workout. We promise you'll be sore, very sore after this. And the full package of Fight Camp comes with the gear you need to start boxing from home, including a freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and smart punch trackers. And it takes up less space than you think. If you have enough room to do a push-up, you have enough room for Fight Camp. So join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home with Fight Camp. You can get started with Fight Camp for as low as $9 a month. Go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's fightcamp.com/KONNAN to learn more.
Did you already get yours, Joe?
It's on the way.
Yeah. So I already got mine, and it's great because it isn't like a conventional punching bag that hangs from the roof and then you hit it and it swings around or somebody has to hold it. It's like on a base. So you can just hit the punching bag and get a real good cardio exercise in. And the great part about this is if you only got 15 minutes, you do a 15-minute workout. If you want to go up to an hour, you get an hour workout. It's great, great, great cardio. It's great for toning your body. When I was doing the best shape I've ever been in my life, besides when I was in the military, and we didn't do any weights, was when I did training for UFC. And it was just mostly like ropes and, you know, hitting the punching bag. And, you know, like you can still get really good muscular development and tone and especially conditioning just from hitting that punching bag. And this is absolutely great. You can put it in your house, in your garage, and that way you don't have to go to the gym, pay gym fees, park, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very convenient. I highly recommend it. Yeah.
Like Disco mentioned earlier, there's live training videos. You can filter it out and search for which type of workout you want to do if you're not sure, if you're inexperienced. Another cool thing is it'll keep all your records so you can compete against yourself. You can compete against friends who have it. You can compete against your family at home. And a lot of people do that stuff. Keep track of your stats. Keep track of your progress.
I'm sure Disco will be getting his soon, and he's really big into conditioning, so he's going to love it. He, you know, it might be something to break at the monotony of always doing the stationary bike or instead of, but I highly recommend this. Everything that we promote on this show, we use ourselves. So get fit, get in shape, get conditioned, fightcamp.com/Conan. Boom.
Next one's from Fall Vampire, and the subject is Saraya problems in AEW. I don't know if you guys follow her on Twitter or not, but since Wednesday, 28th of September, the artist formerly known as Paige has been locked into a Twitter battle with a whole bunch of wrestling marks. Basically, her debut promo in AEW has rightfully been buried by the fans, and Saraya is not happy about it. She's doing all the usual lines. You're losers. Leave the house once in a while. I don't care what incels think, etc. I'm writing to ask, though, could she have seen this coming? It's hardly a secret that AEW fans are the single most toxic, harassing, no life pieces of shit out there. So how come she thought that she was going to be welcomed with open arms? Plus, considering that she's supposed to be AEW's new big babyface signing, again, sorry, Tony, Ember Moon, and Ruby Riott, for the women's division, isn't that a total car crash of way to get over with the fans? I hate to say it, but if you can see her running AEW being a huge batch of nothing. If she can't wrestle, it's a huge nothing burger. For one, if she can wrestle and wins a championship, at least they have a popular figure that's like more mainstream. They can like maybe draw more attention to the women's division. But bro, they got a lot of that division needs a makeover, meaning all the girls in that division need a makeover. They're coming on TV dressed like slobs or look like they're broke. They look like, you know, they look like they dress for shopping at the mall or something like that. You know, they just the problem with that division is when the women come out, they're not presented like superstars like they are in the WWE. And like it just looks like night and day and like amateur versus pro when the women on that show come on TV as opposed to the WWE. And that's why the WWE women do numbers and the AEW women don't. I think it's kind of obvious. You know, what do you think, Conan?
Well, let me preface this by saying I've met Paige many times, especially when she was with ADR. She's very sweet, very cool. And I think I mentioned this before. We're going to use her in Triple Mania 30, or as Conrad would say, what did they say? Tripla.
Right.
Here's the problem. She got a massive ovation when she came out, and I think she lulled herself into a false sense of I can do no wrong. Bro, but it's happened to Ronda and a lot of others. That was a very long and not a good segment. You can't expect everyone to like what you do all the time. If it was good, she wouldn't be getting all that shade. And you got to learn in wrestling, just in life, to take the good with the bad. And you're not going to win against these trolls. So you calling them incels and shit like that, all you're doing is fucking whooping up a hornet's nest. And I just think that a lot of people supported her through her past ordeals. But, dude, in this climate, you get no passes for subpar promos and matches. And that's just the way it is.
That's true. Next one is from Ryan Smith. Subject is K100 questions about active wrestlers running their own promotion. Good day, gentlemen. I recently noticed that AEW wrestler Thunder Rosa has her own wrestling promotion called Mission Pro Wrestling. Brian Myers, formerly Curt Hawkins of WWE, also has his own called Create a Pro Wrestling Academy. I can understand retired wrestlers having their own promotion. My question is, why would an active wrestler run their own promotion while being employed by another company? What agreement would the talent have or need from AEW or WWE respectively to do this?
Why would anyone that works for a promotion run their own school? Because you can use that to get students to sign up. Hey, I'm connected to WWE. Hey, I can get you a shot on AEW Dark or whatever. That's why, of course. It makes your school look more attractive.
That's not a school promotion. So why would...
what do you call it? Both of theirs is a promotion / school. So that's what I meant. Like they train wrestlers, but they also run shows.
Bro, these people make their money on the pro wrestling business. Yeah. If they want to run shows or school, then they get paid for it. It's like, do whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. Mm. There's only a few. There's three ways to make money in wrestling. You either wrestle, you can either run a wrestling show, or you can like, you know, or like run autographs.
Like that's like the income streams.
There's
stuff,
other ways now too. Podcasting, Twitch, playing the video game bullshit, whatever.
Next is from Forrester Grillo, and the subject is Vince versus Wyatt. How's it going, guys? I was reading an article about the numerous fallout between Vince McMahon and Bray Wyatt behind the scenes, and the one that really stuck out to me was that back in 2019 when Wyatt's character was rebooted as The Fiend, Seth Rollins was the WWE champion and house show ticket sales were really bad. So Vince asked Wyatt to start doing media appearances on local radio and TV to help shift tickets, which worked, but Wyatt was angry that Vince was asking him to do out-of-character stuff. My question for you three guys is, who is really in the wrong here? On the one hand, I get the whole protect the gimmick brother stuff, but at the same time, how are you going to protect the gimmick to empty venues? Sometimes it comes across from the stuff I've read online that is that Wyatt wanted a lot without being willing to do the work to warrant it. P.S. Could you guys ask Billy to check his sources that this whole White Rabbit stuff is teasing the debut of Megadraw Crazy Eddie?
That's
what?
That's inaccurate.
Wait, read that last one.
He says, can you guys ask Billy to check with his sources that this whole White Rabbit stuff is teasing the debut of Megadraw Crazy Eddie?
All right, I have a comment on that. Number two, how long did it come up? How long did it take you to come up with that very unique name, Crazy Eddie? You must have put a lot of thought into that.
One day, immediately. Hey,
I got a funny story. You know when Brian Christopher used to run his own the backyard wrestling promotion when he was growing up, right? He used to wrestle on mats and they had a ring in his backyard.
Of course.
And him and Tony Williams, their first when they were like Tony Williams, his partner in Memphis wrestling and stuff. It was like Brian's buddy he grew up with, right? They wrestled together, mm-hmm. but they were called the Do Some Stuff Express. Was their tag team in the backyard wrestling organization that I actually used the name Do Some Stuff Express for my fantasy football team one year. Right. But I think that's a hot name to do. You know why they were called the Do Some Stuff Express?
They did some stuff.
Because they would come out and do some stuff.
That's awesome. Now, I would like to go back to that last comment on our boy Crazy Eddie. The only place he's a draw is in bathhouses and glory holes. Continue.
Right. Take what you can get.
So I haven't heard any of this stuff about Bray Wyatt, but if you are complaining about doing media, that's one of the reasons that Raven was never made the world champion in
WCW
NWA TNA.
Oh,
okay, it's like he would get pissed if they asked him to do a morning radio show. It's bullshit. I go, Raven, radio shows are on in the morning with large audiences. What when do you want to do it? Mm-hmm. It's like you got to go on the radio show that has the big morning drive audience to promote the show. And he was mad that he had to get up early.
But isn't this guy saying that he wanted to be in character, but Vince didn't want him to be in character?
He said he would have to do media appearances out of character, so he's the Fiend.
Well, yeah.
So how do you do a media appearance as the Fiend?
Yeah, they wouldn't
dress up as the Fiend.
They wouldn't have said they wouldn't have said Undertaker to do radio appearances back in the day.
No, they wouldn't. I guess that was probably a point of contention with him.
Yeah,
probably.
I completely understand what he means.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'd like to hear. This to me is the first I've heard of this. I'd like to know the sourcing on the story on these stories because I've never heard of this either.
Yeah.
Right. So
house shows weren't down because Bray wasn't doing radio. House shows were down because Rollins versus the Fiend sucked. Remember that Hell in a Cell match? It was terrible, horrible.
Forrester Grillo, if you're listening to this, send us a link that talks about what you just brought up because I've never heard this. All right.
Yes.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Next is from what we got here? Whoops. Next is from Great Greatness, and the subject is Christian drugs. I was watching Billy's Wrestling Reformer, and he had said that Britt Baker had sex with Christian Cage. Now Christian Cage is divorced now, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Adam Cole's injury might be fake, and that AEW infamous for having after parties and has a whole lot of hard drug usage going on. Can any of you confirm what Billy said? We know you have sources in AEW. Also, is it true that AEW doesn't have a wellness or drug testing policy set up? Billy was using that goofball Brad Shepard.
Right.
Like he went on his show. That guy just always has like stories like this. And I can probably find stuff like this out. But if the only person you've ever hearing this from is a dirt sheet guy, I would suggest these stories are not true because I haven't heard any of these. So,
yeah, I mean,
so stuff like that, I don't, you know.
I've been there after a couple AEW shows and all I saw was some people drinking wine in the lobby.
In every wrestling organization there is, okay, you're going to have a percentage of your guys that go back to the room and play video games. You're going to have a percentage of guys that go to the bar and drink. You're going to have a percentage of the guys that go back to the room and smoke, and you're probably going to have a very small percentage of guys that are probably going to go back to the room to do coke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's like the more so I think the big group is the video games, and then the beer and the weed I think would be probably about the same amount of people that would be doing that after the show. But like drug parties, I don't, you know, like you, whatever the visual picture you get on that, bro, these people are just going back to the rooms and just hanging out.
Right.
You know, so yeah. Next is from Brian Bendick, and the subject is a giant. Hey guys, what was more impressive of a move? Was it Kurt Hennig hitting the perfect plex or Bill Goldberg hitting the jackhammer on the giant? I've always thought it was Kurt doing the perfect plex, even though it was for a two count. Thanks. I guess he just saw this. Somebody tweeted that the other, like recently.
I retweeted it.
Before you finish, let me go back to something that happened. Joe, you know what Lord Cyrus said? That he goes, I can't believe you haven't trained Joe better. He said, why didn't he buy me a beer? And, you know, that's the best way to ingratiate yourself to people. Like if you meet a girl, you buy her a drink.
Yeah.
If you're with your boys, you buy them a drink. You saw the invisible hand and you didn't buy him a beer.
I think
next time you should.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell Don that. I saw him for a second. He was talking to Matt from 2.0 and then he was gone. I didn't want to interrupt their conversation. And I didn't see him again. I absolutely would have bought him a drink. But
Nexus. By the way, by far the jackhammer is because
really?
because the perfect plex, all the guy's doing, he's just doing a flip bump. The jackhammer, you're gonna get the guy up and get his feet up in the air. You know, vertical. So that's way harder to do this than the perfect plex. I mean, way harder. That's it. Next one's from Player's Guide. Subject is Disco's Return to the Ring. Greetings, K100 crew. My question is for DI. Glenn, would you ever consider returning to the ring on a regular basis? What would it take and how do you see yourself being booked? I have a few concepts to throw out there if you're interested. Number one, when Fandango returns to WWE, you join him as his dance coach and escorting him into the ring and by his side in backstage segments where you're critical of his moves and help him get over with the various women on the roster as two slick Casanova characters. Number two, join up with Eddie Kingston as two tough New Yorkers. Here you act as his consigliere pulling strings backstage and dirty tricks from outside the ring to get him over, while also helping him get into shape and over drama, transforming this trailer park boy into a trailer park man. Just because do that. And that's to spend the guy for those stupid ideas, by the way.
They should have you walking down the street like the opening scene of Saturday Night Fever. Remember when Travolta
with holding a paint? I walk in the ring, I got the paint can in my hand. I club somebody over the head with the paint can and walk in the back. That'd be how you know what that would do? Like
you're late and you hit the guy with the, because remember he was late for work and you hit him with the fucking
right. But here's the funny thing: it's like you here's the spot. It's like, I come down to the like it's a La Parca and another wrestler are in a match. There's a spot in the match where they're both doubled down and the referee is down, like it's a triple down. My music plays and I come to the ring with the leather pants on, the leather jacket and the paint can. I hit the ring and as La Parca feeds up, I club him in the back of the head with the paint can and knock him out. He loses 1-2-3.
Well, I think they should do vignettes with you first to present the character, and the character needs to be like the Saturday Night like the opening of the movie Saturday Night Fever with the theme Saturday Night Fever song from the Bee Gees, and they're showing you with the cool shoes and you just came out of a club, you know, you're walking down the street, you got two androgynous people with you, like non-binary, just to keep it, you know, woke, and they're carrying the paint cans for you and you're coming to work late, you know, but you're actually the manager
right
of a pizza shop. Joe's in the bathroom scrubbing toilets.
That's
and
Luigi
guys and the Luigi, the pizza guy's in the back, and you're like, you put on the chef's hat. You got, I told you, you gotta roll the dough this way. You hit it with the rolling pin.
Yeah. Yo, Conan and Joe.
What up?
Yes, sir.
You know, we've been talking about Legacy Sports Nutrition products for a while now with the boy Nick Aldis. And we know some of our K100 fans have been loyal customers. Today, I want to read you some actual reviews from real customers of LegacySubs.com on top-rated local, a verified third-party site that uses two-step authentication to verify each review. Are you ready to hear some of these reviews?
Yes.
Okay. Blake says, absolutely love the Legacy test stack. I feel like I have more drive and energy to power through my workouts. My sleep is also improved. Jonathan says, I was skeptical at first, but after going through my second bottle of Recovery PM as well as testing out X-Lean T-Assist and Test X9, I'm a true convert. Even after the most strenuous workout days, I sleep and recover fully the next day. We'll continue to support these products going forward and look forward to anything new. And then finally, Brandon says, let's go, Brandon. I've ordered from Legacy Sports many times. Their test stack is top-notch. I've seen an increase in energy and stamina in the gym. The customer service is amazing, and they go above and beyond to make sure everything is right. I had an address that pre-populated wrong in an order, and I needed to change it. That's an interesting word to use, pre-populated.
Mm-hmm.
I emailed it and was changed almost immediately and sent out the next day. I even received a personal email saying they would get that right out and appreciated my business. I'll be ordering from them for a long time and sending to all my friends. You will not go wrong with ordering from Legacy Sports Nutrition. Looks like Nick Aldis is probably busy babysitting the kid there and everything and has time to answer all these personal emails. Join the thousands of people that have leveled up with Legacy. Go to LegacySubs.com. That's LegacySupps.com and use code K100. That's K100.
That's code K100 at LegacySubs.com for 10% off.
So next one is I don't know why this guy. This is from Eddie Gonzalez. Okay, I have no clue why he's even asking this question. Subject is memorabilia. Good day, men of honor. Except Poop by Joe.
That's offensive.
Question for
wait a minute.
Question for all three.
That's offensive. One piece of there's no. It wasn't pink eye. I had a very serious corneal infection and could have lost my sight. So that's very offensive to call me.
That's not even close to true. But go ahead.
What one piece of memorabilia do you own, wrestling related or other, would you never sell or part with? Also, why won't Russo watch my favorite flick, Saving Private Ryan? And sincerely, that's your greatest follower and stuff and everything.
What would be yours, Joe? I'm pretty sure it's either a CM Punk doll or Dexter the Cat shirt. But if it isn't that, what is it?
I don't have a piece of memorabilia.
There's a picture
of him holding a replica. I don't know. I think you've seen it, Disco.
Yeah.
He's taking a picture very proudly with a replica of a championship.
No, that's the real belt.
It was Conrad.
It was Conrad's belt. It's the real championship belt that Flair had. But no, I don't own anything, Conrad. Seriously, I don't have anything like that.
Are you ready? Next one's from Brandon Davis. And subject is, do ratings even matter? From Brandon Davis. What's good, Conan Disco? Much love from K1, KY, Kentucky. Much love from Kentucky, and K100 is the best pro wrestling podcast out here. Not being a mark, but that's just facts. You guys deliver straight how it is versus dirt cheeks guys making a big deal out of stuff they don't even have facts over. Don't ban me, Disco. I won't.
Yeah, well,
but in all seriousness, my question is, why do Meltzer's ratings?
That was a request, so I maintain Brandon Davis should be banned.
Okay. Well, then you're requesting that Brandon be banned for making a request?
Yeah.
Well, that's a double indemnified. The two requests cancel each other out, so you will not be banned.
Damn it.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, my question is, why does Meltzer's ratings matter more these days than actual ticket sales and merch sales? Isn't the main objective of pro wrestling to make money? I feel like Omega, the Bucks, and everyone else basically think if they have ranked higher than you on PWI, that means they're simply a better wrestler. What's your opinion on that? Well, my opinion on that is, like, what wrestlers, this generation of wrestlers, what they care more about is how people perceive their work, I think. And when we did, it's like whether or not you were getting pops out there or not. That's all we cared about. If we would, because sometimes you didn't have to work hard to get big pops, and you thought you wouldn't perform really well. And I think these people think that the wrestlers today look at the fans, and there's a lot of dirt cheap marks in the crowd that are going to critique their work, and they feel like they have to wrestle in a way that they'll critique their work well. And I think at the absence of like doing stuff that gets over and gets big pops out there. So I mean, we've been very clear on this. What do you think, Conan?
What's the actual question?
Isn't the main objective for us to make money? Yes. And so you feel like he thinks people care more about their rankings, like in PWI, that makes them a better wrestler. Like, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, that's a generational thing. I just think at the end of the day, as a booker, I want all of my wrestlers to have good matches, but the guys that stand out to me are the ones that are getting the pops.
Right. And some of them may not be the best wrestler.
Right.
Then you want to tell the best wrestler, the guys you got that's killing. It's like, dude, you're not getting as big a pop as these guys.
Just about anybody can wrestle nowadays. Not just anybody can't get a pop. Anybody can't cut a promo. That's a special skill set too.
It's a special skill set these days because so few people do it. Bro, rarely do you see professional wrestlers, even on TV and stuff, trying to connect with the crowd in between the moves.
Right.
And it's just like that's largely absent. The ones that do stick out like a sore thumb because so many don't. And it's like, bro, all of us used to try to connect with the crowd after we'd hit a big move and get up, they get the crowd fired up or get good heat when stuff. Mm-hmm. You just don't see a lot of that anymore. You know,
plus
it's like they've
memorized fucking 15 minutes of false finishes and finishes and fucking high spots and
Plus, they
forget the nuances of working the crowd.
I don't see how anyone could take, and I'm an observer reader, I respect Dave and all that, but with the star ratings now, like he throws them out very often, like, oh, Wheeler Yuta has a random 5-star match, but you look back and Bret Hart versus Owen got 4 stars. Kurt Angle never had a 5-star match. You're telling me you think Wheeler Yuta on Dynamite had a better match than Kurt Angle's career? Like it doesn't make sense anymore. It doesn't translate. No, it doesn't.
But that's basically, it's kind of weird too. It's like, but bro, that's all those guys have though. Like they don't have a lot of personality. They don't have a gimmick. They don't have, but they can reference Dave's ratings of their matches and think they do good. Like, but bro, you're not doing anything to connect with the fans. That's a missed art. That's part of that makes a good match because it engages the crowd emotionally in the match, not just like you do a crazy spot and like, oh, this is, that's not connected emotionally. You're doing train wreck spots out there. And it's like acrobatics and death defying. And that's not like,
well, you are connecting emotionally because people are reacting, but you're overdoing it.
Right. You're getting the same response that everybody else does. It does those spots. This is my point. Next one's from Wilfred Quinones, and the subject is Bad Bunny. Oh, by the way, Bad Bunny, I don't work on Sunday nights. He came in Sunday night after his concert at Allegiant Field, came in our club and spent like $30,000.
Did he sell out the stadium?
Oh, yeah. Two nights in a row. I think it might have been 3 nights.
Oh, yeah. I heard they added shows. Yeah, that's right. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Did you see him? Great. A lot. No, I didn't go because I had to work, but a lot of the girls in our club went to the show.
Right.
And came back to work after the show. Like a lot of girls. I was like, wow, this guy, you can tell a guy when the strippers are going to watch you perform, you're doing pretty
you're
good.
Over.
Right? Yeah. On a press conference a few weeks ago, AAA said he loved working with talents like Bad Bunny, Logan Paul, and Pat McAfee. He also mentioned there was a planned meeting between him and Bad Bunny very soon. How do you guys think we should use Bad Bunny next time around? He's been the most stream artist for the last 2 years, and he's kind of a very big deal, at least to Puerto Ricans. Thanks. Well, he's a big deal to everybody because we just spoke in Vegas. He sold out. You sell out Vegas in a stadium.
He went to Miami, sold out 2 nights in a row. He went to Mexico City, sold out 2 nights. 2 nights, not one. Two.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's like you too used to do stuff like that, you know? Like, the guy's hot. What would he be doing? Anything. He's a great, he's a breath of fresh air when you get celebrities that perform well in the wrestling business. You're just a big fan of that, you know? So, next is from Justin Alkay. The subject is the genius of the Bloodline story. The genius of the Bloodline storyline. Hello, Conan, Disco, and Joe. What do you guys think of the genius of the Bloodline story? I think it's interesting that as I see right now, they're telling 3 stories within that one angle. You have the dominance of Roman as a historic title run. You have the issues between Sami Zayn and the One Uso, which should lead to the Usos versus Zayn and Owens. And with how they presented Solo, it builds intrigue into what he will do when he goes on his own. It's good. Bro, it's a multi-layered story that they do a great job advancing every single week through soap opera storytelling. You know, like, did you watch it this past week on SmackDown, Conan?
I haven't seen it yet.
There's one, let me just say, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there's one very good, important segment. Is Sammy's going on to knock on the door, and Jey Uso answers the door and steps outside the room and closes the door and gets right in Sammy's face, goes, I see right through you. Like, they have their confrontation. You know, it's like I'm on to you.
Bro, we were on this long before anybody else was.
Right.
You know, absolutely. We were putting this over way 2 years ago. So we've been following it all the way through. We've been its biggest fan, and they haven't disappointed us. Right. Great stuff.
Plus, you could see this storyline coming a mile away, that it's just great storytelling, you know. So,
and both of you guys were suggesting this for years, and actually the rehash I just put out, you guys are both saying, why don't they put all the, you know, Usos and Roman together for this, and this. Like, you guys called it, so.
Yeah, how good they would look together with all the gold.
Yep.
I called that, like, I was the first one that said, you know, they should win all the belts and come in, and that's what they did. Maybe they did listen to us, and, like, you know, listen to our but that wasn't high-level acumen genius storytelling right there. It was kind of obvious from what you just see from the characters, so. Next is from Robert Perry. Oh, here we go, Conan. This is the last one, by the way. Robert Perry, subject is World War II. Guys, Disco requested I ask a World War II question here. I've always enjoyed talking about the World War II. My grandpa was a tough old bastard who was a corpsman attached to the Marines who fought in the Battle of Iwo Jima. He saw the four Marines raise the flag of Mount Suribachi. As Conan could attest to, as a corpsman, he probably saw some brutal shit, but he never talked about it. He did say that World War II was the last, quote, just war. Do you agree with this or not? Not denigrating the people that served in Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, I can see what he's saying. Also, have you ever had a chance to talk to a World War II vet? It is fascinating hearing them tell stories and realize they were probably 20 or 21 years old when they fought. That's from your friend Robert. Conan, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I do think that was the last just war, and everything else after that has been bullshit. I do like that America doesn't have appetite for war right now. Even Modi, the Indian prime minister, told Putin as much. And bro, when I was in the Navy, you know, all the old timers, they were all World War II veterans. So they would sit around and fucking tell us stories, and it was fascinating. But yeah, I think that was the last just war.
It's kind of interesting that, like, on the world stage, like, what, you know, like, the United States, the way our media and everything is, like, you know, always presented our enemies, right? And our enemies are always the bad guys, right? But then, like, you see some, like, you know, other countries are like, and they look at the United States as the enemy, and that we're the bad guy. And it's kind of weird how, like, you know, when wars happen now, like, when these conflicts are happening, bro, we're at the subject, like, we're beholden to try to find out what is going on in these wars by media, which is basically compromised, that's been politicized. Like, you're going to, if you turn on the media and you hear one side, the left wing side of, you get one take. And if you listen to just the right wing, you get another take. And they're both completely different from each other. You know, and so I'm just saying, like, back then, it's kind of obvious that the Germans were the bad guys globally. They were exterminating Jews. The Japanese were also bad guys because they snuck attack us. They were the first, when they struck Pearl Harbor, that was a sneak attack on a country we had no beef with. You know, so it's like, but today, it's like, you look at the way the United States operates. Like, I can absolutely see it on the world stage why people, you know, look, bro, we've got military bases all over the world. You know what I'm saying? And our borders are basically, you know, all friendly. You know, there's no Russian military base in Mexico. There's no Iranian, you know, military base in Canada. You know, there's we're all over. So, you know, we got 13, 14 bases in South Korea, right next door to North Korea. You know, it's like we got bases like in Japan. We're all over the planet with our fingerprints, and like, and people look at that. It's like, just imagine if that was another country that was like our enemies. Like the Chinese had a military base in Mexico. They had one in Puerto Rico. They had one in Cuba. They had, like, how would we feel? It's like we never really look at the perceptions, like, how other people feel about us, but we're like imperialists. Like, we're all over the planet with military bases. We share military bases, like, with Japan. They have, like, a military base there where we should, like, if our space shuttle, if we send a space shuttle up, they have an emergency landing spot for it. You know, like, on, like, one of their bases there. So it's like, I don't know. It's just, you know, like, how just are these wars today? Like who is fighting them? And, like, who, you know, what is the reason? It's like, you just get this feeling that, like, we've heard, like, over the years, like, the military-industrial complex is always pro-war because, like, if you are, like, the military-industrial complex, what's the one thing you have to do with your weapons is that end up you have to use them.
Yeah, you have to use them.
So you can order a bunch of new ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's how that gimmick works. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know. Well, what's your take, Conan?
No, you know, you just got to read your history, bro. Most of the wars after Vietnam were all for profit. After they found out in World War II they could make money off of it, then it's been a – and you go to Latin America, the way they overthrew governments, whether it was Santo Domingo, whether it was Mexico, whether it was Guatemala, where it was – and there was just Americans going in there and taking over and making money off the resources of, you know, poor people, you know. And that's never written in the history books because, of course, we always got to be the good guys. But we've done so much dirty shit that I'm ashamed of, but it is what it is.
You you missed a couple, D.I., a couple emails.
I missed a couple of emails? Yeah.
There's one says Andrade underutilized, and then there's another one.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, you can see.
And then there's one about Shivani from Des Moines that was like
Andrade one. Eric, so Eric Roberts, subject is Andrade underutilized. Hey, fellas, so at the sign of Bendito and Roosh, is Tony ready to sever ties with Andrade? AW recently posted a backstage Hispanic Heritage Month photo, and Andrade didn't even get booked for that. Consider the guy could have at least been a staple for upper mid-card. Who's to blame? Tony's poor booking or a possibly self-inflated sense of purpose from Andrade? And would Andrade even fare any better if he went back to WWE? Thanks for your thoughts and some Eric Roberts. What's your take on this, Cody?
I don't know, because they keep using him. And I thought there was...
Are they really using him? He does these goofy back.
Well, he's gonna do a match, Mass versus Career against 10.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, no way he loses the 10. But then I thought maybe that's a way for to get him out of there. You know?
Right.
I mean, you never know. I know Triple H really liked him. You know, he's the guy that brought him to NXT, and I'm sure he'd do better with him over there in charge. And I'm sure he's gotten a hold of him, or he wouldn't be tweeting all that shit Joe was saying the other day. Mm. And you know, Triple H loves his NXT people, whether it's him, whether it's Dakota Sky, whether it's fucking the other Eros guy, whatever fucking name is, Gargano, Cross, Scarlett, Ripley. Like I think he likes Andrade.
Yeah. Okay, so this is an interesting one. This is from Adam Des Moines. Subject is Stargate Shivani. Gentlemen, as you're aware, I recently had that AEW broadcasting goof, Tony Schiavone, review the greatest four-star match in WCW Monday Nitro history between the megastar Disco Inferno and Mr. Pillow Talk himself, Chris Benoit. Kony and Kazumi for that. Yeah, you should get Kazumi for that. That's a cheap show. Yeah. Anyway, during the watch-along review, Tony Schiavone denies he ever gave this match four stars and claims Disco Inferno and myself are liars. Well, at the timestamp of 1 hour, 16 minutes, and 11 seconds, on the 8/16/99 Nitro, Tony Schiavone clearly states on the broadcast that this is a four-star match, and that's absolutely true. He does say that. Now, since Schiavone's been caught red-handed fabricating events that he himself called, has that earned him a spot on the Disco list next to that bum Chris Jericho and between black finger-painting Jimmy Jacobs? P.S. Also, Schiavone failed to use that sweet match introduction in the Disco Cup because he states he did not give the match four stars. I have stooged Joe the audio of the match, which is 15 minutes in length, and he has my permission to play the audio of the complete Tony Schiavone take on Disco's all-time greatest match. Maybe I might – Joe, you can probably send that to me, and I'll listen to what Tony has to say, and then we'll see if anything is worthy to play on the show in the future. So.
All right, just
but absolutely, Tony Schiavone said this is a four-star match, which is exact words. Mm. So that's a better mailbag.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Boom.